Dear friends, yesterday we celebrated the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and so began the most important week of Jesus' earthly life. And so again begins the most important week of the year for sinners like you and me. Today, on Holy Monday, we read and study the activity of our Savior Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. We read from Luke 19, verses 45 to 48. And Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. So the first thing that Jesus did on Monday morning of Holy Week was make a beeline for the temple. Now you recall that the temple was a pretty dominant feature in the ministry of Jesus and in his life. When he was 40 days old, Mary and Joseph, his parents, brought him to the temple to present him to the Lord. And you recall the account of when he was 12, Jesus' mother found him in the temple courts teaching the teachers, and he was responding to his mother's questions by telling her that she should have known that he would be there and that he must be about his father's business. When he was 30, 3 years before his death, Jesus cleansed the temple for the first time, driving out the animals and the money exchangers with a whip, prophesying and saying, "Destroy this temple," referring to his body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, 3 years later, the time to fulfill that prophecy had come. So what exactly was going on in the temple that made him so upset? Remember, it was Passover time, so there was lots of pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims, visiting the capital. And all good Jews were required to offer sacrifices at the time of the Passover. So instead of going through the hassle of traveling with your own animals, many Jews simply purchased them in Jerusalem. Not a sinful practice in and of itself, but when the sale was taking place in the temple, in the place of prayer, and when the prices were hiked just to con some poor pilgrim out of a few bucks, well, you can easily see the greed and the depravity of the Jewish leaders. And it gets worse, because there was a catch. You see, you can't just buy sacrificial animals with any old coin. You have to use the Hebrew half shekel. Now, you know that traveling internationally is not cheap. If you were to drive up to Canada this afternoon, you would have to exchange all of your American dollars for Canadian dollars before you could purchase anything in that country. And guess what? Exchanging money isn't free. You will not get the equal amount in exchange. The banks are going to take some of your money, skim some off the top for the use of their services. That's what the Jewish religious leaders were doing in the temple, with a very high exchange rate. And they were making a killing off it. Monetary profits had replaced prayer as the primary temple activity. This still happens, again and again. In our text, it took less than 3 years between Jesus' two cleansings for the practice to take root again in the Jerusalem temple. 500 years ago, a young monk in Germany wrote 95 theses against the sale of indulgences, pieces of paper which you paid for with money to buy forgiveness of sins. Indulgences, one of the many Roman Catholic versions of desecrating the temple of God. Even today, much of false Christianity dishonors God's name and his house by preaching a social gospel, hiding behind the fake facade of good works and charities, proclaiming forgiveness to those who give the most out of their pocket. And we too sometimes give into the worldly distractions and fail to give God's house the honor and respect that he deserves. But Jesus cleansed the temple twice. God used Martin Luther to begin cleansing the false teachings of work righteousness from the church. Jesus even cleanses you and your sinful heart. And he does it all with his word. He said in Luke 5:32, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came to call us, condemning us with God's law, comforting and cleansing us with true love, personified in the sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins. Now we are all of us pilgrims in this world, much like the pilgrims visiting Jerusalem. We know that our time is short. We are merely visitors here on this beautiful creation, oftentimes desecrating God with our sinful disobedience. God had every right to treat us even worse than those religious leaders treated those earthly Jewish pilgrims. He should have exchanged our sinful state for eternal punishment. But instead, he did the opposite. Instead, he reached into his pocket and he gave us Christ's righteousness in exchange for our unrighteous rags. Isaiah 40 verse 2, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." For God, it wasn't simply enough to drive out our sins. He replaced them with a clean bill of perfect health. Because of God's unending mercy, our exchange rate went from zero to double. And for Jesus, it wasn't enough to drive out the sacrilegious money mongers and animals. Jesus replaced them with his teaching, with his gospel word. As Jesus was teaching daily in the temple, the principal men of the Jews were seeking to destroy him, but they couldn't find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. There will always be evil men in this world seeking to destroy Jesus, seeking to destroy your faith. And sometimes it might seem that the evil men are winning. No doubt that's what the disciples of Jesus thought when he was hanging on that tree. Instead of falling into that spiral of doubt and worry, follow the lead of the children and the people in the temple. Hang on Jesus' every word. Hang on to the promise of God's double exchange rate for all of your sins. Because of Christ's cleansing atonement, we have the hope of heaven and the promise of eternal peace. Let us hang on to his words this week and every week until he comes to carry us home. Amen. We sing this morning from hymn 760, verses 1, 4, and 5.